WDIY presents a special news feature. Voting fraud and vote tampering have been politicized in the media on a national stage in the wake of the coronavirus pandemic with mail-in ballots and absentee voting. This concern became a reality with the recent Pennsylvania primary and the contested race for representative of the 22nd District here in Allentown. We continue this story from the incumbent's perspective. WDIY News is pleased to welcome Peter Schweier, representative for the 22nd District of the State Assembly here in Allentown. We asked Representative Schweier to comment on the June 2nd primary, his opponent's allegations leveled, his record serving the people of Allentown in the 22nd District, and his future policy initiatives still to come. Welcome, Representative Schweier. We appreciate you making time for WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
My pleasure.
Representative Schweier, your primary opponent suggested that you may be out of touch with your majority-minority population in your district. How would you like to respond?
There's a legitimate conversation for folks to have about how do people from different backgrounds work together, right? That's a fair question to have. But it's funny. So one of my colleagues, another very progressive member of the House, came up to me and asked that exact same question. And I happen to be standing next to a third colleague of mine, who is an African-American person who happens to represent a district that's only 25% African-American. It's about 70% Caucasian. And so this one member says to me, Pete, how do you represent a district that's Spanish? And I'm said, well, number one, they're not Spanish. They're Latino and they're Hispanic. And, you know, they come from South America and Central America and the islands and a few Mexicans, but not as many as you'd think. But they're my neighbors. They're my friends. They're people I grew up with. It's, you know, kids, my, you know, families that my kids, my daughters go to school with. And the other person, my colleague who happens to be African-American, looked at me and said, Dan, my district's only 25% black. You never asked me how I'm going to represent a district that's 75% white. And the three of us kind of looked at each other. One guy walked away. And I said to my colleague, Austin, I'm like, hey, I really appreciate you saying that because it's hard. I can't say those things. And at least not easily. And he's like, the question, and he framed it really well. He goes, the question is not that. The question is, how do people from different backgrounds come together? He goes, and that's a fair question. And he goes, you grapple with that, and I grapple with that in our districts. But we all do, right? Some of us are poor kids who live in a rich district who are able to do that, and they have different backgrounds as well. And he's like, you know, we just all have to get to the point where we're looking at it from a question of how are we coming together, not how are you, the other, trying to pretend to be something you're not in another neighborhood. He's like, that's where that question grates us. And so, you know, we had a very, very opposite sort of and very candid conversations. The one thing I do absolutely love about my job is that there's a lot of really smart people, Democrats and Republicans, that I serve with, and we have really difficult conversations in Harrisburg. But they overwhelmingly come from a place of respect and a desire for all of us to do really well in our communities and our districts. And so I really appreciate being able to have those conversations.
You've represented your district in our area for quite some time, clearly for a reason. The electorate elected you to do so. Never mind their personal political persuasion aside, do you feel a judge of elections that is potentially accused of behavior like that, darkening and adjusting ballots, should still continue to serve?
I think there's a broader conversation to have about how we actually run elections in Pennsylvania. Judges of elections are elected in Pennsylvania, and I don't necessarily think that that's always the right way to do it. I mean, we have a hard enough time in many towns of getting enough people to run for town council or school board or places like that, and then to take that down all the way to the level of a judge of elections, I don't know that that's the wisest way to do it. And then when you factor in a couple of things, most notably changes in the law, but beyond changes in the law, changes in technology. The Commonwealth of Pennsylvania doesn't pick the voting machines that the counties choose, for example. We let the counties make the decisions about what voting machines that they're going to do. Some of them perform better than others. Some of them are glitchy. And because there are so many factors involved, I don't know that electing judge of electors is actually the right way to go to run an election. I don't know what the education was for any of our judges were in advance of this. I don't know what, you know, obviously I'm not privy to sitting in on any of those conversations or anything like that. I'm not a judge of elections. And there's been a conversation in Harrisburg for a long time, you know, about our compensation level for our elections officials, because to be perfectly candid with you, you get like $125 a day or something like that, you know, some number thereabout. And so the result of which is I don't actually think that that system is the right way to conduct an election. I think that we need to have a level of professionalism. I don't want to beat up on election officials who volunteer their time, put themselves in harm's way with the pandemic. So I want to be careful how I choose those words. But I do think there's something to be said about perhaps letting either the courts pick or, you know, county boards of elections or something like that to hire out folks, as opposed to the person who gets one or two signatures on a write-in election to be the final arbiter for a vote in the district. I just think that this is probably a better way to do it. And so I don't want to comment on any of those allegations. Again, to my knowledge, there may or may not still be an active investigation, so I'm not going to say anything about that particular incident beyond that. But I think that there's a broader conversation that should be had about how we go about running elections, specifically the Election Day workers.
Would you believe it's fair to say that qualifications of judges prior to certain elections may be a part of that progression?
We are constantly tinkering with the elections code right now, mostly because of the early voting and the vote by mail stuff. And what I've had informal conversations, I don't serve on those committees, but I've had informal conversations. And yes, I think that it's fair to say that we should have election officials that meet a certain criteria. That doesn't necessarily mean an education level, but that could mean certain training things that have to be completed beforehand, you know, validations that people know the rules. I won't speak in this particular specifics of this case because, again, to my knowledge, there may still be an investigation going on, and there may or may not. But I think it's fair to say that there's a way for us to review how election officials should be trained, and perhaps no longer have a system where, you know, the voters in one precinct are the ones who choose who the elections officials are for their specific precinct.
Representative Schweier, do you believe that universal poll worker training is an idea worth exploring? Candidate Santiago's campaign suggested that certain poll workers were not trained to recognize the double last name of certain Latinx community members, and that potentially they were turned away from voting.
Let's be perfectly candid. There are cultural competencies that absolutely need to be addressed everywhere in our society, whether it's policing, whether it's in education, whether it's in healthcare, whether it's in elections. There is most certainly a lack of cultural competency across our communities. And that is something that is deeply disturbing to me, and it's something that we truly need to do a better job of. Elections are no different than that. With that said, I there are allegations that people did not vote, and there may be instances where people were at the polls, got frustrated, and left. I have no direct knowledge of that happening at all. I've not had one judge of elections come up to me and say, by the way, I saw X number of people that turned away because their names weren't in the books, but we think it's... I don't actually know that to be true. Now, I'm not saying it's not possible. I'm not saying it didn't happen. I'm just saying that that accusation is not one that I have any firsthand knowledge of. And in fact, the only person that is talking about it is Ms. Santiago. If somebody was turned away from a poll, was it because they weren't registered at that precinct? People move all the time and don't change their voter registration. That happens all the time. If they moved from Northampton County to Lehigh County and didn't change their registration, their names wouldn't be in the books anywhere. There's a lot of people who move from South Bethlehem or Easton or wherever, moving to Allentown, and didn't change their voter registration. And that happens all the time. So there's a lot of potential pitfalls that would have prevented somebody from coming out to vote. I will say that I strongly support same-day voter registration. I strongly support open primaries, which is a new position for me. It's only been about the last year and a half or so that I've decided that open primaries are the most fair. And so as a result of which, I think that there are better ways that we can handle it. I also think that there's definitely a need to have greater cultural competency in the system.
Please share with our listeners any policy initiatives that you have coming up that will affect your constituents and district directly.
We have a couple of major things that we have to tackle in the next couple of months. And I'm going to say next couple of months from now until the end of the calendar year. I anticipate that we're going to be debating, if not making actual changes, more so to the elections board. Nothing sweeping, but as we saw, not only in our race, but also in places like New York State and others, that if we don't allow for voter registration offices to start the process, even if it's just what they call pre-canvassing of ballots, to start the process of counting votes earlier, we know what's going to happen, and that we're not going to get results for a week, 2 weeks. And Pennsylvania is going to play such a pivotal role in this upcoming election that we need to make sure that we do that. So that's number one. Number two, there's going to be a major, major budget issue on our hands. We did a stopgap budget that will largely end, not entirely, but largely will come to an end of our authorization to spend money by the end of November. And we're going to be in Harrisburg a lot, I believe, in the late fall, early winter, figuring out and debating and finalizing the state budget. Lastly, and something that I believe will be most important to my constituents, at least many of my constituents, I'm very, very concerned about evictions, foreclosures, and most directly for the committees that I serve on, utility shutoffs. So I serve on the Appropriations Committee. I also serve on the Consumer Affairs Committee. I have four committees. Those are two of them. And the Consumer Affairs Committee, in a nutshell, is the committee that oversees electricity rates, energy efficiency programs, gas rates, delivery of natural gas, water, public water, private water companies, those sorts of things. And we have a moratorium on shutoffs, which is a great thing. But there are some very significant policy changes that we are going to need to make, because just because there's a moratorium on shutoffs doesn't mean people's bills still aren't running. They are. People are accumulating more and more debt to their landlords, to their banks, and to the utilities. And at some point in time, we're going to help those folks transition back into paying those bills and paying off any past debt. And so we're looking at another number of initiatives right now, and that's something that I'd like to be really deeply involved in.
Obviously, the racial reckoning that we're witnessing in our society nationally right now, how are you helping with your constituency and your district to mend any ties between law enforcement and the community? What initiatives would you like to see or participate or promote that would heal the community?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and it's one that we grapple with all across America. I mean, it's not an Allentown and Pennsylvania-specific problem. It's a very real concern. And it's one that troubles me. I mean, I watched the shooting of the Wisconsin police officer and the African-American man who was shot 7 times in the back. I watched George Floyd be murdered. I remember the protests for Freddie Gray's shooting, and you just go right down the line. And I can't believe that we're still grappling with a very fundamental question of how is law enforcement supposed to do their job while protecting our communities in a safe and just manner? And I had a conversation with Justin Parker of Black Lives Matter of the Lehigh Valley. Justin's a constituent of mine and a really big guy. And, you know, I said to him, when I was on city council, I used to get in a lot of trouble saying that we don't need more cops, we need less crime. And he looked at me and he goes, I really like the way you phrased that. And there are many ways that our community can achieve less crime. That doesn't necessarily mean that we need more law enforcement. So I have been supporting a number of bills and packages in Harrisburg with things like greater cultural competency training, working to de-escalate tensions, supporting things like really important small measures, things like mental health issues for not only citizens at large, but for our police officers. I have supported legislation to reduce, curtail, and eventually eliminate the militarization of our police officers. I have supported legislation to end cash bail. I've always opposed the death penalty in Pennsylvania. I have co-sponsored legislation and letters supporting parole reform. I've been largely supportive of that, of those issues. I had a policy hearing not too long ago, a couple of weeks ago, along with my colleagues with Legislative Black Caucus. And so often when you're in this business, you have an easy time talking but a hard time shutting up. By the way, you're experiencing that right now. And I am really trying to do my very best to stop and listen to people who have been so much more directly impacted by these issues than I have. Listening to my colleagues in the legislature, listening to people here in the Lehigh Valley, listening to my neighbors and friends who are telling me stories that I never knew. And, I mean, I have staff members who are telling me stories that I never knew. And so we have to listen first. And we have to take what folks are saying seriously second. And third, we have to actually act on those things. So I've secured grant money for programs like the Promised Neighborhood of the Lehigh Valley because they're doing incredible work in the neighborhoods, in the communities of de-escalating violence. I got them $150,000 grant over 3 years just last year to try to help them with their de-escalation. I've on Friday, tentatively on Friday, although it's not announced yet, looking to do a quick policy roundtable with a House Democratic Whip about more things that are happening in the community, where our goal is not to promise massive things that we may not be able to actually accomplish, but our goal is to shut up and listen and take those stories back and the real things that people are feeling and listening to people so that they are heard and that we can actually do that. It's going to take, I mean, our country was founded with a horrific ultimate original sin of slavery from back from the 1600s and the first settlement. And it is going to not take just one or two bills that I can support or sponsor in Harrisburg, but it's going to take generations of Americans who are going to be dedicated to changing the conversation. And in the meantime, my job is to listen and try to act on what people are telling me. Safety and stability in our community, not law enforcement and criminal justice work, those are not mutually the same thing, but also not mutually exclusive, right? And so, you know, trying to do our very best to stop and listen, try to do our very best to make sure that we're taking people's stories seriously, and just do our very best to try to bring folks together. It's all we can realistically do. And just everybody needs to remember, this is not going to happen overnight, but it's got to start. And you know, there's an old saying that the best time to plant a tree was 15 years ago, and the second best time to plant a tree is today. Well, we should have been doing this for the last 400 years, but, you know, we've had a lot of people that have been pushing these issues for a number of years, and we just got to keep pushing forward on it so that we can achieve equality and really face down our very real problems that we've had as a society.
Finally, is there anything else you'd like to let our listeners know?
Yeah, this is not a campaign speech. But I will say that this is the most consequential election that America has seen since, I would argue, 1864. From overt and widespread public corruption to a widespread foreign influence to a distortion and outright lying of facts, we have a very real challenge to defend and uphold our democracy. And the only way that we're going to be able to do that is take to the ballot box. We created the vote-by-mail system so that we can make it easier for folks to vote. Governor Wolf even announced that we're going to start paying for postage for people because we don't want anybody to have any excuse not to come out and vote. And so we're encouraging every elected official, Democrat, Republican, liberal, or conservative, should be encouraging everybody to take advantage of the bipartisan vote-by-mail program that we have here in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. The website is www.votespa.com. That is a public website. That is a state website. It's not a partisan website. Again, votespa.com, V-O-T-E-S-P-A.com. And I really hope people look to that option. It's a way to make sure that your voice is heard, your vote is counted in a way that is safe and reliable.
I'd like to take a moment to thank Representative Peter Schweier of the 22nd District for making time for WDIY Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Thank you so very much.
For WDIY News, James Johnson reporting.